You're listening to the Cosmic Code Podcast for the evolution of consciousness. Here's your host, Vince Kelvin.
I'm Vince Kelvin, and you're listening to a post-Cosmic Code convention. There were so many speakers, so much talent, that we are doing a series of interviews. Even though the convention was a couple weeks ago, or maybe a couple months ago, depending when you're listening. So we're here today with a buddy of mine, somebody very dear to me. We go way back to the days of Project Hollywood. He's a performer, entertainer, lyricist, musician like no other. Here he is, Buck Bowen. How are you, Buck?
If I was doing any better, it'd be a sin.
Well. So we're going to find you sinning during this interview. Seriously, first, I'm a big fan of your music, and I think there's that element of motivation in it and dedication. You broke a record by producing a song a week for what, three years now? Am I correct? Tell us about that.
Just a little over 3 years. Yeah. Just a little over 3 years. Yep. So you said tell us about that?
Yeah. We'd love to know. Unless.
Oh, cool.
There's an aspect of it that you don't want to talk about.
Well, I don't, but just for you, I will. So I'll just dive into that real quickly.
I feel honored.
great. Yeah. So basically I do one song and video every Monday, and I've been doing that for going on 160 some weeks now, just over 3 years. And for me, it's kind of like an obsession. It's something that I have to do. It's something that keeps me always thinking of what's next. It keeps me creative. It keeps me on track. And I always have to find something new to talk about, or something old to talk about in a new way. And I don't know how much time we got here, but this could go on for a few hours. So I want to be mindful of the podcast and not take up too much of your time.
Well, speaking of time, that's quite a process right there, because if I understand correctly, you do it from A to Z by yourself, right? Once in a while, meet your special guest, but you write, you record, you produce, and then you also do the video itself, the music, everything. So what's your process like? I mean, do you begin on Tuesday? As soon as you release one, you start, you begin to write. People are always kind of sometimes confused about the process of things. And whatever is creative, there's always a variety of processes. So what is your own process of putting that together and manifesting a new video, song, lyric in 1 week?
Cool. Yeah, so really quickly, I think the biggest takeaway for me with this whole process is that sometimes it's inspiration and other times it's perspiration. So people often, say that they're not motivated to do something. And if you're at all familiar with Zig Ziglar, he said the motivation comes after the action. So for me, that's what's so great about this process, is that most of the time it's perspiration, because like Friday's kind of my writing day. That's the day typically I wait until Friday, and then I try to write. And either I get something or I don't, and then I finish it on Saturday or Sunday, and then sometimes at the latest on Monday itself. But, the process for me is I usually don't have anything planned ahead of time. I just, on Friday, I make a beat, and then I just try to write whatever comes to me, or something could have happened during that week that inspired me to write about something, and that becomes my motivation for the song.
Wow, that is true songwriting. You know, there's many artists or anything that we may decide to begin. Many people, they, like you said, they They wait for the inspiration to come, and that's backwards, okay? To be inspired, it starts with motion. Set yourself in motion. Right. And yet, in the original days of songwriting, and I don't know why I say the original days, but both on Broadway and Tinseltown, help me with that word, Tinseltown, I don't even know where the word Tinseltown came from. They had such a thing as staff writers in cubicles. In cubicles. So basically those people would be sit down like a 9-to-5, write. Wow, so that's inspiration for all those who use the lack of inspiration as an excuse. Now, wow, amazing. So right there, gold nugget, beyond the gold nuggets. Okay, it's a fucking gold mine if you know how to dig into it. The realization that there's not only the option of motivation comes first, I act on it. There's the option of I'm not motivated, but I act and it follows. And it's almost like right foot, left foot, and you find that rhythm, and whichever one is there, well, you take the other one, and there you are. It also must have taken a lot of discipline. And I think that discipline, no matter what we do, is absolutely essential, and yet there too, along with motivation, it's another of those topics where so many false impression, well, I'm just not a disciplined person, I like the discipline, or so for you, you know, what allowed you to be steady like this? It's big. I know that I'm a big fan of like a 10-day challenge, a 30-day challenge, and at some point I decided to do a 365-day challenge. But you know what? I'm still working on it. I haven't reached lining up 365 days. When Tony Robbins was talking about the famous book, The 7-Day Mental Diet, by the name eludes me, Emmett Fox, a very tiny book. Yeah, so the idea would be you would go on a diet and you would have to restart a mental diet, which would consist of, you know, and you would set the bar high, like no gossip, no bothered by the world, by people, by anything. And you would have to line up 7 days. But good motherfucking luck, unless, although, totally go for things like that, totally go. But don't get discouraged if you don't follow through. So you, Buck Bowen. Owner of the world record of music producing 3 years, and you're continuing. It's important to say that. You didn't keep it at just 3 years. You better not.
Right.
I demand a song a week. So, discipline. What's your take on it? What allowed you to follow through and to continue to follow through with that?
Okay, so with this thing in particular, I almost feel like I don't think there's a big secret. I just think that I'm obstinate, or like I don't know. For me, and I don't know what the answer is, but I'm more terrified of what would happen if I discontinued doing it than if I continued. So for me, I don't know. I also feel that I just came so far that if I just quit, it just kind of like sweeps everything under the rug. So I don't know. I just have this like weird irrational fear of like something happening if I quit. So I don't know if it's maybe it's not a good motivation why I keep going. But I don't know. I guess and also it helps, you know, every now and again when a friend chimes in and it says that they appreciate a certain song or, you know, something that I did give them inspiration. And for me, that's just, I don't know. I guess with the thing of every week, it's like the longer I go with this, like the more impressive it is to people. So it's like, I guess that's also part of what keeps me going too, is like, just, I mean, yeah, 3 years is cool, but what about 5 years? What about 10 years? You know?
I got distracted because I'm clicking on your website and suddenly Jim Rohn pops up. And I had the privilege to spend a little bit of time with Jim Rohn during his brilliant lifetime. So that moved me a little bit to suddenly see a mentor for whom I have so much respect. Now, So yeah, that's very interesting. So many can make the mistake to think that discipline consists of pushing yourself and either you have it or you don't. And right there, you demonstrated an aspect of it that is just what are you focused on? And you redirected the fear. Okay, the classic cliche example of don't put the fear in front of you. Put it behind you so you got to move forward. So that's very interesting, and I think that's available. That's brilliant. That's available for anyone. If you're listening right now, whatever you're pursuing and you wish you were more disciplined, begin to play with that idea that we got from Buck to be really fearful that you wouldn't follow through until it creates a strong move away. Now, you are very versatile. You've done lots. You also were involved with a show. Is it on Showtime? Am I correct? I hope I'm not tossing the wrong channel network right there.
No. Yeah, Showtime, The Gambler's Ballad.
Showtime, and what was that about? Can you tell us?
Yeah, so it's a documentary called The Gambler's Ballad, and it, in essence, is a love letter to one of the legends of magic, Johnny Thompson, who died last year. Actually, he was in his early 80s, one of the last living legends of magic, and the documentary is about him. We interview David Copperfield, Arsenio Hall, Penn and Teller, and you know, various other well-known figures in the magic community.
Wow, props. And you're also a magician.
Yes, sir. That's correct.
Tell us a little bit more. Watch out, okay. You know, I'm talkative, so this is your interview.
It's the silence between the words that's important. No. Anyway, yeah, so back in 2017, I had been involved in the magic community for a few years, and I had a buddy of mine who was not a member of the Academy of Magical Arts at the Magic Castle. And I didn't know why, because I felt that he was really good and should be. And so I told him that I was going to become a member before him, and that if I did, I would get to punch him in the face. So I went to work, and in August of 2017, I auditioned at the Magic Castle, and I got in. So that was sort of the Cliff Notes version of my journey, and I still owe my friend a punch in the face.
Have you not seen him since? That's why?
I have. No. Actually, he's kind of the style that he actually is, like, and he wants me to punch him in the face. He does a lot of the sort of, I don't know what you would call it, bizarre magic, you know, stapling things to his body and swallowing needles and stuff like that. So me actually punching him in the face would actually make him really happy, which is probably maybe why I haven't actually punched him in the face.
Or maybe there's a trick to it. Maybe you punch him and he's unpunchable or something. You also, something that was also very impressive, I really appreciated that during the confinement, maybe you listened to this recording a long time after the confinement, but during the confinement, you were very resourceful because you still managed making the videos using prior footage. You had a beautiful montage of, like, different stages of your life. Obviously, you had already documented before it was trendy to do so with cell phones and so on. You, like, we see some VHS stuff. There was a part of that video. So I would like to know two things. I was quite fascinated because you were receiving an award at a very young age, and you were really kind of funny, rebellious, badass, hip-hop in the way you were dealing with getting the award. Very unique. Right. So if you can tell us about that. And also about the mindset, you know, when suddenly we were to do with less means, how many could have used it as an excuse, oh, wow, I can't do my videos anymore. You still managed. So tell us about those two things, please.
Okay, cool. So back in 2006, I won in my hometown. They had like every year they had an award show. This was the first year that they had it, and I won the award for best hip hop. And this is back when I drank alcohol, and I definitely had way too much. And so my name gets called up, and as I'm walking to the stage, I literally roll on stage. For some reason, I didn't want to take the stairs. I rolled up on stage. And what I'm about to tell you that happens next, you can actually see this in the video. First thing I do when I get on stage is I deep throat the microphone. Don't ask me why. Something came over me. That's what I did. Everybody just bust out in laughter, and I go on to my spiel, and eventually they Frank Sinatra me. I don't know if you remember that from the award show many, many years ago, where I just kept talking and talking, and then they just started playing the music, and then eventually a couple people came up and just kind of like picked me up and just ushered me off stage to continue to talk and give my thank yous. And yeah, it's really, really, really quite ridiculous. I have like bleach blonde hair. Somebody the next day wrote on one of the message boards, was that Ellen DeGeneres who gave Buck Bowens the award speech? It was really funny, really fun time. And so that was, I think, your first question. And then the second question was, you talked about resourcefulness. So when I start to see everybody contract, I like to think of how I can expand. And which maybe, you know, I should probably be thinking in those terms at all points. I guess it's just, when you start to see everybody do one thing, it makes you think of the opposite. Or, well, if everybody's doing that, why aren't they doing this? And so, yeah, in times of contraction, like with the epidemic and things like that, where people start to go into, survival mode or whatever you want to call it, because I guess you need toilet paper for that. I started thinking, how can I expand? And like you mentioned, it's I wasn't able to go out and get all the video footage that I wanted, but I knew that I had all of this backlog of content, because apparently I've just always had a camera on me since I was like 12. And I thought it'd be nice to actually give that old footage some light. And, you know, it allows people in, you know, to see a bit of my past and different aspects of me and the different haircuts that I've had over the years, too. So
it took me a while to recognize that it was you in all the different scenes. So that is truly, truly, really, really, really awesome. And you also, in the midst of the pandemic, you relocated and you went to Guadalajara. Correct?
Correct.
It's funny because for years, you know, when I do my pickup, I get playful and oftentimes I would randomly tell a girl, what? Even though I don't know the girl, I go, what? Oh my God, I was misinformed. Everybody told me you relocated to Guadalajara. And then I also would make those announcements that suddenly, I don't know, I would be texting a girl telling her, like, just wanted to say a brief goodbye. I'm permanently relocating to Guadalajara. So I hope to visit you there soon, because I've always loved the name. It's so unique. I just love the name. So, but you are in Guadalajara,
That's
and
correct.
You seem to have quite a blast over there. Thank you again for sending me the pictures of what? No, it was a little video of like you got a stripping pole there. So we should start a little club. And it seemed that it was quite a bit of fun. Yet the outline right there would be you relocated while most people would not relocate. It's interesting.
I've started Project GDL down here. GDL is the name of the airport, obviously the abbreviation for Guadalajara. And now that the stripper pole has been installed, we're in full effect. I remember the pull that you had back at Project Hollywood. So just kind of carrying on the tradition. I feel like you asked me a question and I totally missed what you asked me.
It's okay. Two things come to mind. I very appreciate this, and I want to do one thing in conclusion. And yet, You know, I'm here in Hollywood, and people are fast at dropping names and so on, which has its plus. You know, if everybody else does it, you know, you gotta voice yourself. But at the same time, I feel that there's a true sense of humility from you, which also resonates almost as if, of course, you're doing it because it's normal. So sometimes we do something we're not aware of, but, you know, there's a beautiful sense of humility. And as much as we sometimes could easily assume the opposites, the more chief finer people I have met in life end up to turn out being very humble. So I'm always inspired by that humility. As is, so maybe you're not even aware of it, and you go, what's he talking about? But or you're probably going to be humble about humility, and you're going to be like, oh no, I'm not so humble.
Yeah, it's a really weird thing, because it's like, as soon as somebody talks to me about that, I find myself being humble or having humility. But like, when that conversation is not being had, I'm definitely probably stuck on myself and thinking that I deserve more than I've gotten, or, you know, like this some weird like sense of entitlement, or, you know, sometimes I'll say things like, you know, like, nobody knows right now, but when I'm dead, then they'll know. Like, I pretend like I'm
well, that's true humility right there, because who would have the humility to admit that, right? So that's true humility. You can't escape it, Buck. You know, it's like in that classic by, who was it, Mel Brooks? I may have it backwards, yeah. Or Monty Python, you know, The Life of Brian, may have it all mixed up, but you know that scene where somebody goes, oh, he's the Messiah, and then he goes, no, I'm not. Only the Messiah would say that, and he can't escape it. So you have a beautiful sense of humor. I had a true blast with you when we went to Vegas together, and Buck and I did something absolutely surreal, and we didn't plan it. But the drive back was about 5 hours, because we stopped a couple times. And for 5 hours, we just went berserk with improvisation, with zero restrictions. Uh-huh. And that was quite phenomenal. And we also knew each other at Project Hollywood. I would love, in conclusion, maybe you have a speech in conclusion, but I hope you're not going to do that thing you did at the award, because I just have to stop the recording on my just in case, okay? So in case you're planning, you tricked me and you're going to go. Two things, and then in conclusion on your side. The first thing is, I have your site in front of me where there's like, you even have a store there, and you got some, all your videos, music, and so on. So would you share the URL with people?
Yes, it's just my name, Buck Bowen, BOWEN.com. I have all my music available there. All the videos and stuff, you can find them all on YouTube, which is just, you know, YouTube/ Buck Bowen. Pretty easy there. That's the URL.
I love it. You're a true artist. So buckbowen.com, I'm on the site right now. You're a true artist, because I also noticed that you are not like the social media person that keeps on talking about what you're doing. You're doing it. This is art. I feel it. Like, you have a strong presence with all the songs, and yet you're not like going social media crazy. So it shows you're doing it for the art. Any word on your side in conclusion in just a moment, but I thought it'd be great since we mentioned Jim Rohn, and I'm still on the page on your website where we see Jim Rohn, and he's looking at me right now. One or two of your favorite Jim Rohn quotes.
Yeah. Oh, great, great, great. So really quickly, I'm just going to sneak this in. I have a couple songs actually based on the content of Jim Rohn. One is called Work Harder on Yourself, and the other one is called Protect Your Garden. And then, of course, just his stuff just influences a lot of the music that I make. But, yeah, so a couple quotes from Jim Rohn that really hit me so hard. My penis, or my brain grew a penis and jerked itself off. I hope I can say that on your podcast. If not, I'm sorry. Number one.
Shocked and outraged.
Okay. So number one, this
young
one,
man.
This one, and I'm not being hyperbolic, normally I am, but this one literally like changed my life, like after hearing it. And I think this originally comes from Earl Shove, which was his mentor. But so number one, if it's easy, do it easy. If it's hard, do it hard. Just get it done. So
wow.
For me, that just changed the whole game for me, because it made me realize that a lot of the suffering and agony that happens as a result of not wanting to do something is due in part because of the bullshit we tell ourselves, when all you had to do was just do the thing, right? Like, just take out the trash. Like, you don't have to talk about how it smells bad or how somebody else should have done it. Just take it out, be done with it, and then you save all that energy from not bitching and complaining. Another one is, if you work hard on the job, you can make a living. If you work hard on yourself, you can make a fortune. So that one also made me realize that it doesn't really matter where I work or what job I'm doing, because as long as I'm working on myself, like, that's going to be the ultimate determination of how things pan out for me in the future. And also what it kind of helped me do, I'll keep this short, was instead of me viewing a job that I had to go to and work and how much it sucked, I started thinking in terms of the job that I'm working is, I'm helping this place fulfill their goals. In this moment of time, obviously, like, I have my own path that I'm on, but in the meantime, you know, like, if I worked for McDonald's, I wouldn't view it as like, oh, this sucks, I'm working this shitty 9-to-5. I would think about it in terms of, okay, McDonald's has a goal in mind, and I'm helping them to fulfill that. So for me, it puts me kind of in parallel or on par with who I'm working with. It's like I'm working with them versus working for them. So that quote kind of helped me shift my thinking in those terms, if that makes sense.
Wow. Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. And for those listening to, I was going to go, you messed up. Tim Rohn. For those who know Tim Rohn.
I know, I love it.
But for those who are listening, who are coming from a standpoint of being social and pickup and seduction, you know, it's not a quote by Jim Rohn, but it's a mindset that I was exposed to, that prior was, I had no notion of that, you know, to kind of appreciate life, to be the one who will take the picture, to be the one who wants, if you haven't gone to the opera, you got to go check it out. And I find that for many men that wrestle and struggle at being social is they omit that whole part of, you know, like, support the art, become a connoisseur, check out the music, watch the video, go to the garden, go to the exhibit, and so on. And it's funny because sometimes it's when we bring those elements that are most unexpected into the combination of pickup arts that your whole experience of it goes much further. So I'm very grateful to Jim Rohn, and I guess it's interesting because Jim Rohn became directly or indirectly to so many the Mr. Shelf, because that was his right. Mentor. So, and Buck, I so appreciate this. I feel very thrilled you shared some truly priceless, like right on the dot, you know. So quick recap, now you're going to be the one who has to cut me off, but I just want to highlight three gold nuggets we got here from Buck.
Mm-hmm.
Aside from you guys going to listen to the music, beautiful, like so well produced and inspiring and so on. One was that realization that it's not just, I'm not motivated to take action. I take action, I'm more motivated, okay? It's like two legs, and whichever one comes first, use that one. If you want the motivation, take action. Yes, the discipline, well, we think that it has to do with pushing, with pushing harder. It's really a point of focus. If we suddenly focus, like what you said, which was the third one I wanted to highlight, the turmoil that we go through, and if we accumulate for all the times we go through in a lifetime of the reluctance to do something, and we know we should, and we wrestle, and we hold back, and we push, and so on, that is just not worth it. So sometimes taking action could just simply, we don't need the discipline. We just need to realize that you don't want to go through the hassle that comes with not going or going half-assed. So, all right, Buck, we did it. I'm going to call you. I got some comedy coming to mind, but I'm just living it on the inside because we live in a day and age where there's not much you can say anymore. So, but I got some great comedy coming up, and I want to share it with you.
Okay.
All right. So, everybody, thank you so much for listening. I'm Vince Kelvin today. We were with Buck Bowen, lyricist, artist, rapper like no other. And you check out his music. And meanwhile, if you missed that, the journey that the Cosmic Code was four entire days. Gurus and pickup and entertainers. We covered it all. You know, Bad Boy was there. Hypnotica, AZD, Discovery. Just to name the guys who specialize in the art of seduction and pickup. As well as comedians, entertainers, and so on. You can experience the whole journey via recording. There's a link there in the description of the website. You click on it, and we'll still grant you a whole bunch of bonuses, but this is only valid for a limited amount of time. So, act now.
To experience the magic of the world's largest online convention ever, go to CosmicCodeConvention.com.